welcome to the latest episode of Talking Talkie. From someone who doesn't know which number we're on, you'll know that it's Stephen Dixon hosting today. And with me is my, I'll call him a colleague because he's not a friend. It's Mr. Sam Drewith.
Yeah, with acquaintance seems too close as well, I'd say.
Yeah, colleagues is fine. We started the last episode of this when we were together with working out what you're wearing today. I can... listeners to the podcast, I'll describe it to you. He's wearing a branded hoodie for his career. I don't know what Sam does. He never mentions it. But really repping the brand colours. Is that something you do in your personal life, Sam?
Well, it's a fleece quarter zip. You know, I'm part of the quarter zip brigade. I mean, look. Basically, anyone who's a keen supporter of me and my work, before I release my book, you can wear branded things to look just like me. And if you want, you can have my name and number printed on the back.
What a start to the podcast. And what a result. Look at that segue I just did there. What a result as well for Torquay United in the weekend. A 4-1 victory over the Giants of Frome. I think the main thing to talk about with this, we'll inevitably get into what we want to talk about in the FA Trophy anyway. But the main headline for this was Gary Johnson really turned to the club's youth department in inverted commas. I suppose rested a few players who probably needed it, and B was kind of forced to, I suppose, with some of the injury problems we've got. But turned to the youth products and it came up okay with a 4-1 victory. What was your reaction after that result, Sam?
Well, I mean, I was pleased when I saw the lineup. I didn't go, I'll be honest, but I saw the lineup and I thought, my first thought was brilliant. He's giving youth players a go, you know, nothing to lose, you know, why not? But then the second thing I thought was, we must be really, I mean, I know we're thin on the ground, but I didn't realise quite how thin on the ground, because Johnson doesn't play youth players for this.
No.
He don't play them as, you know, in the way that an Exeter City manager might be encouraged to. It's very much out of necessity. So I think, look, don't get me wrong, it's great that they played, and I'm really pleased for them that they got a chance to play a first team game and they've won. But I think, let's not get carried away, it's just a sign of how threadbare our squad really is.
No, I absolutely agree. And I am one of the fans who I love it when I see a youth player coming through. I got well on the Saul Halpin train, then Ashley Yeoman, then Levi Ives. I was well in for all of these. Come on, Drew, throw me another one.
Oh, I mean,
Race Beer.
Ed Palmer was a personal favourite.
Yeah.
What was the chairman
Thompson
called? Yo, Noel Thompson, he was all right.
He did all right.
We had a Baker. We had a someone Baker.
Yeah, maybe. I always get right behind it as soon as I see a youth player coming through. I think partly because 12-year-old Stephen would still love to be the one who's coming through the youth ranks. And I think Johnson as a manager, I think it's fair to say he doesn't tend to turn to his own youth ranks. And I don't think he's done that at many of his clubs, if at all. What he does do is turn to the youth ranks of wherever his son happens to be managing. I think his hand was forced. I don't think he would have done it if he didn't have to. I don't think he would have done it I don't think he would have done it to the same extent if it was an FA Cup game. I think the fact it was FA Trophy, he thought, let's just do it. But fair play to the lads that came in. Winning a game for Torquay United, it can be a difficult business at the moment. And even if it's only Frome Town, I mean, they're not mugs. And yet, and as a 16, 17-year-old lad, as some of these were, you are coming up against, you know, adult players who, you know, they're not mugs. They're a good side. They come out with a win.
No, they're not. And the thing with any cup is the opposition you play against, people often kind of, you know, make light of who you're playing against, but they're there on merit. You know, they've qualified to get to that stage. And I know it's very cliche, but you play up, get away against the club. But like, you can see from the club that the Frome Twitter account, the X account, it was clearly a huge day for them, you know, to host. I know that we know how rubbish we are as a club, not just as a side, but as a club we are. But for them, they're probably thinking, wow, we're playing against a big old club. It's a massive day for them.
Yeah.
So the players are going to want to try and get something out of it and you know, make them, you know, give themselves a chance to put themselves in their history book. So yeah, it's no easy task, and you can only beat what's in front of you, and they've done that.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, I mean a positive day. I think a couple of goals for Theo Williams as well, probably quite important. I think well, we need strikers that can score goals, especially with Aaron Jarvis out at the moment. So notching against anyone is always a good thing. The one slight fly in the ointment, I suppose, is being unable to keep a clean sheet again. But I think with the side that's out, a 4-1 victory, you can have a few complaints, can you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm almost, because we've won, the game was home and dry then, I was almost quite pleased that Frome got their goal, because, you know, whoever scored it, and for the fans, it's something that they will remember. So, yeah, and to be honest, I expect so little from our players nowadays. It's like, yeah, fine. You know, only conceding one is probably, it's kind of as good as a clean sheet.
If you could deal with a hypothetical for just a short moment, if we were to have lost that, what would, I mean, because that was the risk Johnson was taking, really, is that with the side that he put out, I mean, there is a chance you lose it, and as I said, I think we've given plenty of praise to the youth players, and they've done a great job, and they should be very proud of themselves, and even if they don't play for Torquay United again, they've got that under their belts, but. The risk Johnson was taking was not winning that game with the side he put out. What would your reaction have been if we had just kind of lost 2-0 there?
I mean, I'd have been disappointed, because for Johnson, you think, is it a deep thing where he's saying, it's almost him sending a message to the board saying, look, this is how little I have at the moment. I have, you know, I'm having to play these players, no disrespect to them whatsoever. Or is it him kind of going, well, there's three options. So that's option one. Option two, is he going, no, do you know what? I've seen you all play and train. You've trained with the first team squad. Prove yourselves, this is your chance. Or is it him kind of going, I'm not that fussed about the FA Trophy? If it is the third one, I'd be disappointed, because we're not going to win the title, right? We're just, it's not going to happen. So
Yep.
if you're wrestling for the league, it's a bit like, well, we should get the playoffs. If we don't, there's something serious. I mean, there is something wrong, but there's something seriously wrong there. So yeah, it's, I'm not sure. I mean, it is a huge risk, but you know, regardless of the reason or whatever the reason is, I'm not saying there's an agenda behind it, but I'm just glad that those young lads got a chance to prove themselves, and they did.
And the one thing we haven't mentioned, I don't think it was covered in last week's pod, is the return of Will Jenkins-Davies as well, who has returned from Plymouth Argyle after an injury, managed to get himself on the score sheet as well after coming off the bench. Are you pleased to see him back?
I am. I thought just before he got injured, it was so typical in football, but just before he got injured, he really started to click, and he was that slightly more athletic, creative player that we needed in the midfield, because you've got Brett McGavin, who is good at what he can do, but is limited to what he can do, and then you've got Lapsley, who I love Lapsley like everyone does, but with greatest respect to him, he is an injury or a suspension always waiting to happen. Asa Hall can't play every game, so it's like, actually, you know, it's the perfect player to come back. He's, you know, he's obviously got talent. He's athletic, and he, it's not like getting someone brand new. He knows the team. You know, he's trained with them through pre-season. He has played with them, so it's not a new signing as such, which I think is good. And also, I think after Dolan went back, we did need to fill that void, because he leaves behind a huge gap. You know, he was a real class act.
I think you're right. I it's tinged a little bit for me because I don't think he's as good as Dolan.
No,
I
God,
think
no.
an ardent Torquay fan would have to admit that with the way Dolan was able to kind of score and create in a way that I don't think many of our players can do. My worry early in the season with Jenkins-Davies was that I feel like we were all so desperate for him to be Adam Randall. And he's not that type of player either, though. And, again, Adam Brandon grew into it, but my worry early in the season was that Jenkins-Davies looked a little bit lightweight. I mean, it's a classic kind of some of the things you get when you get young players in, but perhaps didn't have quite the bite for some of the challenges he was going to have to deal with. And, you know, that even at our level, like, you can't have a luxury player that floats around the middle and takes up nice positions. You've got to get your work in. But much like you said, I think just before he got injured, I was starting to see, like, okay, here's how he could fit in here. Here's what he could do. And he was finding his feet. So I'm really pleased we managed to get him back. And I think he'll start a lot of games again, to be honest.
No, he will. The thing is, you are right, but you have to grow up quite quickly at this level. You know, going from playing youth team football to playing against, and I know it's like a bit, you know, Graham Souness and your dad, but you're playing against men.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing against other academy players. You're playing against men who, you know, for whatever reason, whether it be they're at the tail end of their careers and they want to make an impact, you know, they want to prove a point, or if they're maybe, I don't know, young players trying to get a move, you're playing against players who have got a bit of a chip on their shoulder at this level, I always think. So you've got to grow up quickly. And yeah, you know, of course, he's a midfielder from Argyle. We're automatically going, oh, please be like Adam Randell. But Adam Randell is a generation talent for me. In terms of players to come to Torquay, he's the best footballer I've seen since Unano came. So, yeah. I love him. I love him. I know this isn't.
I think it's
not an Adam Randell podcast, but I just, Adam, if you're listening, I love you. I hate Argyle, and it kills me sex. I really hate them for Argyle.
But so when Randell scored the last minute winner for them the other week against Stoke, were you happy for that, or how was your feeling?
They were the fourth team on my bet, and they were the only team letting me down. So I saw that they'd scored, and I said to Josh, I was like, if that's Adam Randell, he's even more of a legend than I thought he was. And it was. I was like, oh, what a man. What a man.
But I think, honestly, to take it back to the football, with him, as the season progressed, I think people forget that he had to grow into the season as well. But
he made an instant impact. He scored an early goal. I think he was at Boreham away. And then Armani Little got injured. I know, shocking. But Armani got injured, and he was kind of pushed into that midfield role. But then even when Little came back and he went to play on the right wing when the main was out, he made it look like he'd always been a right winger.
Yeah.
You know, but you are right. You know, he did have to grow into that. And that's the thing with, you know, and of course, you know, I'm not expecting every player to be at that level. You know, Adam Randell is in and out of a championship first team and plays well. But Jenkins-Davies is, you know, you can't expect them to just hit the ground running every time.
No,
and if he's shown that bit of patience, which Johnson did, he proved himself for me.
He's a different type of player as well. And I think he's very highly rated at Argyle from what I've heard. And I know a lot of Argyle fans expected him to kind of come to the Conference South and do very well. Obviously that injury setback, but hopefully now he can just come into the side and be a bit more of a creative force. I think we're sadly lacking it as well.
Yeah, we are, and you know, it is gutting because Dolan was. He seemed like we finally got that piece of the jigsaw that we needed in midfield, and of course, you know, he was too good for this level, and has since been recalled. And I genuinely hope that he has a really good season with Fleetwood, because maybe one day he'll look back and go, yeah, Torquay gave me the kick up the arse that I needed, and I went on to and I excelled. And I genuinely hope that happens, but. You know, I think it's no negative thing that we've got someone in who, A, we know can do it because he was starting to do it, or we know he's got the potential to do it, I should say.
Yeah.
We've got someone in like that. But like I say, I think the big thing is he knows the team. He knows the players. He knows what he's coming into. It's not another new signing. You've got to integrate. You've got to kind of say, right, this is what we're all about, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, he knows the team. In you come. Welcome back. Let's get straight to it.
I think so. We obviously came through that round of the FA Trophy and have drawn Hereford in the next round, which used to be a Football League fixture. Hereford in the next round, who are currently sixth in the National League North, I think. And we're due to play them on Saturday, the 13th of January. Hereford, what are we thinking about that? Is it a, A throwback to when we used to be a half decent side.
Oh, half decent club. I mean, we were almost a professional, professionally run outfit then. I was really, it's funny, shout out Alan Wills. He put on a group. He said, oh, Hereford away would be good. And we drew him. And I thought, I was quite pleased with that because I've got good memories of going to Hereford. Well, I haven't actually. I think we went and we might have drawn on New Year's Day once in what was pretty much Bennion's last game for us. And then we went there on the last day of the season in the Martin Ling season where we thought, you know, massive swing could have taken us up, but we went 3-0 down at half time. I think we got it to about 3-0. But the pictures that the club tweeted in the week, I was like, oh my word. Like they've tweeted, when we see Torquay with N-Power badges on the side of the sleeve, you think, wow, that's
it feels
a relic.
It feels so far away. I don't think the club should do it.
Just a distant memory. I mean, sometimes you think, why would you do that? It's a bit like when I look back at pictures from like 5 or 6 years ago and I think, God, I used to be about 3 stone lighter and have a hairline. Yes, you don't need to see it. It's just upsetting. It really is. Come on, don't do
you
that.
You ever do
to
that
me.
Looking at ex-girlfriends as well, Drew?
No, I'm blocked.
Look, this is good. When we're hosting, we find out about each other. That's great. That's good to know.
And it's you know, I'm just getting things off my chest. I feel a bit after these podcasts, just feel a lighter and a better man. And I'm ready to face another week.
There's plenty of room to be a better man. So yeah, Hereford in the next round, and we'll let the Podders that week preview that game. But I think an interesting tie anyway that's come out of that draw.
They're a good side. They're a good side in the National League North. I think Gowling got sacked. I think they're managed by Paul Caddis now, actually. Who was?
Oh, did Gowling go? Did he?
Yeah, Gowling went. Not worried about relegation still, I don't think. I think he's still doing interviews saying, no, we won't go down. We will, Josh. And we did. But they're managed by Paul Caddis, which I know everyone previewed, but Paul Caddis, which is an interesting one. He was the captain at Swindon when Paolo Di Canio, PDC, was there when they won the League Two title. And he also scored that famous goal at Birmingham. So, you know, any more facts you need, just wait till the next pod.
Wow, we should have a Drift solo pod with that kind of knowledge. Just as a general point, I happen to think that the quality in the National League North is quite a bit better than the National League South. So I think...
God, yeah, it goes without saying.
I'd consider them favourites for that one. And I think they'd consider themselves favourites as well, especially with the home draw. But, we'll see how we go. And
I'm tempted to go.
Oh, okay. Anyone wants to share a space in Drew's car, message the podcast.
Well, if anyone wants to drive me so I can have a beer, just follow me on Twitter. That's @SamDrift, by the way. I'm nearly at 800 followers. So,
and if anyone wanted to connect with you on LinkedIn and wants a job in construction, Sam, what's that?
Let's see if you're good enough first. come on.
Moving swiftly
levels,
on.
Levels to this. Come on.
Moving swiftly on into the next weekend for Torquay United, which is this Saturday. It's at home against Hemel Hempstead.
That wasn't and won't be a league fixture. I can tell you that.
Won't ever be. Not in our lifetimes.
No. That's more on us than Hemel, by the way. If any Hemel fans are listening, you can unburn my house.
So Hemel Hempstead in the next round, in the next round of fixtures in the National League South. They currently occupy 16th in the table. I see Prema previewing them before because they've got that ridiculous club badge.
Is it the Henry VIII one?
I would say so.
I mean, it might not be, but it fucking, sorry, it bloody well looks like him.
Hemel Hempstead in the weekend, 16th in the table. I've had an up and down season as their league form would suggest. I think probably one of the sides that would be happy just to be kind of in the running for playoffs. If they could sneak in, that'd be great for them.
Are they one of those teams that any other year you'd think, like you say, the quality in this league isn't that high. Any other season, they might think, yeah, we've got a half chance of doing something. But they must look at it and think, oh, wicked. I know we're not good, but on paper they're probably thinking, oh, Torquay and Yeovil here and Maidstone. Let's hold the kind of excitement and maybe just have a steady one and go again next year.
The only thing I would
Are
say
they
is
one
that
of those clubs?
It's just looking at the league table, they're more miserly at the back than us. They've only conceded 24 goals so far this season, whereas we've conceded 31. But they've also scored far fewer as well, with just 23 goals in their 20 games so far, and we've scored 38 in our 21 games so far. It might be an interesting tactical battle to a certain extent. I mean, even though they don't score many goals, I'd fancy them to get one against us. I don't think our defence has a shutout in them still.
No. I think whilst Ross Marshall is employed by the football club, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Sometimes he looks like prime Beckenbauer if you get him on a good day.
Oh, honestly, he just—I say that I like Ross. I genuinely do, and he just infuriates me because it's a bit like, I think what I forget is he's young. I think one day he'll be that player in the conference that's kind of like 32, 33, and the clubs go, oh, God, yeah, God, get a Ross Marshall in, that's who we need. But he's not that age yet. He's unfortunately in his early 20s and he's making cock-ups for Torquay week in, week out.
I think so.
That's as good as a conference get, Ross.
I think my loaded question, and I sense I know the response, but I'll put it to you anyway. There's been some discussion online. The youngsters did all right against Frome. Would you be tempted to retain any of them in the match day squad as we look towards Hemel Hempstead, perhaps carry a bit of confidence in? Would you be tempted to keep any of those in and around the first team squad?
Yeah, I would, because A, they've proved themselves against them. You know, I'm not saying play all of them because it's not practical, is it?
No. Nope.
But you know, keep a couple of them around it. Why not? You know, one of them could go on to do something. God knows we need a player sale, you know, and that could kickstart a bit of a thing for us. A bit of a pipe dream. I think we're probably the worst selling club in the country.
Yep.
But also, I don't think we've got much option not to. You know, we just don't have many first team players. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, everyone's kind of covered it, but you know, the one game this season, I'm not exaggerating, the one game that Jack Stobbs starts to look like a proper footballer, does his hamstring. You think, oh, it's honestly, it beggars belief. This everything about this club at the moment, you think, Ross Marshall, Jack Stobbs finally plays a game where he starts to look really good and dangerous. You think, right, okay, brilliant. He's starting to do what you need him to. So's Collins. All right, Collins still fit. But he goes and does his hamstring. And I mean, I really feel for him because it looked horrible and it sounded bad, apparently. But it's just bloody typical. It's so typical.
I think we'll do a podcast special at some point on the curse of Plainmoor, because like the injury troubles we've had, I feel like for the last like 4 or 5 seasons, to be honest, like is it something
do
in
you
the
know
water?
what?
Is it something we're doing?
Do you know what? Honestly, this is not me having a Gary Johnson, because I have no desire to, but it's in Gary Johnson's tenure. We've had a lot of injuries. Everyone used to blame Kai Hepworth, but is it the training ground? Is it the fact they train on 3G pitches? Is it something to do with the training? There's got to be,
you've
there's
got to take
got
a look
to
at
be
it.
something. Yeah, it's not coincidence. It's a bit like the Premier League. This season, there are way more injuries than ever before. Is it the long stoppages? Is it the extra time added on? I don't know. But these, you know, if you have a couple of long-term injuries that like impact injuries on the pitch, fine. You know, fine. That's understandable. But constant injuries gets a bit... I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's no coincidence. You know,
no,
these things are happening for
I
a
think
reason.
Something needs to be looked at, because it just happens too often. And Asa Hall's at the older end of the spectrum in terms of our playing squad. He's going to pick up injuries. But we get them across the age ranges in our team. Like, everyone's
oh,
picking
no
up,
one's safe.
Everyone's picking up something. I don't know what the answer is, but it's something to look at. Just returning to that youth question in terms of how whether we look to kind of keep people in and around the squad. I think we will. My long-term worry about our youth system is that and it has been for a very long time, to be honest, since we first wound up our youth system, and then every subsequent time we've done it since then, what we're ending up with in any kind of youth system is the dregs, which is fine. We're now the smallest club, you know, professional side in terms of versus Exeter and Plymouth, so we'll get the kind of the players that they perhaps don't want in their youth system. But the issue for me is that we can't really point to anyone even in the last, I mean, 20 years, correct me if I'm wrong, who's like come through our youth system and gone up the leagues. The absolute ceiling has been, you know, becoming a useful squad option in the, well, like, you'd almost say Niall Thompson was like the ceiling of recent players in that he became useful for a time.
And he played in the squad for a couple of years. You know, I know Yeoman was in the squad for the best part of 5 years, but he was only ever a bit part player, and, you know, X amount of managers didn't want to play him. You know, with the greatest respect to him. You know, you go Buckle, Ling, Hargreaves, Neil Hargreaves.
I think they all wanted him around because he was likely a cheap option in the squad. And, you know.
Yeah, and I don't get me wrong, he scored an important goal for us. But, you know, the problem is, the youth thing is a long discussion, but, and I don't even put this down to the current board. Yes, we could do with some proper investment, but the thing is, you've got Argyle who have got like a tier one or a tier two academy, and they're doing work on that. So,
no, I agree.
Their academy is Premier League level, and they've got the infrastructure, and they've got coaches all through the age groups.
And they have had players. They have had players go on to success as well.
Yeah. But you think like they've got. Geographically, they've got Cornwall, Plymouth, and I'd say A38 corridor, certainly up to about Ashburton. And then Ashburton up to Bridgewater, Exeter City, Hoover up. You know, Exeter City, if you're going to play for an academy in this area, that's the one to go to because you will get chances. They're built on that. That's their model. So anyone in between, don't get me wrong, the two that come to mind, Kiefer Moore's in the academy, or very briefly, that got shut down and he went elsewhere. He's that, you know, we all know about him. And then Callum Morton. So look, I'm not sure how much Callum Morton was or wasn't in the UTO. I know he was briefly.
Yeah.
Will Taylor will be able to correct me if I'm wrong. And Josh Key, who's gone to Swansea from Exeter. He's a talkie boy. So you think the players are there, but with the greatest respect to talking, you know, why would you want to go and play in their youth team when you could go and play for a recognised academy that's going to offer you actual chances? But it's a no-brainer.
That's the long-term issue. We keep kind of creating a youth system and winding up. And I realise at the moment we've probably got a more cost-effective method in that we've got this kind of link-up with South Devon College, I think. And I have to admit, I don't know the technicalities of it.
But the thing is, you're right. We've got this link-up with the college or Torquay Academy, whatever it is. But and with the absolute greatest respect to anyone that comes through, and honestly, even by playing one game, you've lived my dream. I'm not taking anything away from it.
I absolutely agree.
Everyone's dream. We've all at some point thought, I'd just love to have one, you know, one sub appearance on.
Yeah.
But is our talent basically who just goes to that sixth form?
Yeah,
is that how it works? Because, you know, there's so many. I'm not going to name it because it'd be a bit unfair. But a mate of mine, his son, I think his. Trying him with Exeter, maybe is clearly, you know, young lad. Is clearly going to be a talent. He's a Torquay fan, but there isn't that proper opportunity, and you just think we're going to miss it. Don't get me wrong. If we start putting some proper investment and time into it, we're not going to get anything done. We're not going to get any real sort of talented players come through in the next, well, for the foreseeable future. But if you start to build it up in 10 years or so, you might see someone come through. And have a chance. And I just... I was just going to say, the other thing, schools are starting to do it. You know, I'm not a huge fan, as people may well know, I'm not a huge fan of the private education system as a rule of thumb. I don't want nothing against it. But Millfield School, they've got a real setup. So Scott Laird was there. I'm not sure if he still is. He was something to do with Weston as well. That's Scott Laird who's actually came through the Argyle Academy, and we had a loan, played a good football league career. But that's where Ryan Dixon's gone. Ryan Dixon has left a professional football club to go and work for a school. That shows the level that we're at.
Yeah, no, and the monetary, you'd assume there's a monetary factor in there as well, but that is just assumption in terms of how that's worked. The broader youth point, we've ended up doing a feature on youth here, but even when we had kind of owners that were perhaps more personally invested, even if not financially interested in Torquay United, the issue with a fully fledged youth system is that you almost need, I mean, you said 10 years to wait for things to come through. You almost need 20 years, to be honest, and it needs 20 years of consistent.
No, 10 years is being very, very optimistic.
And
but,
it's not,
yeah.
and it's not going to happen. Like, it's just not, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with Uncle Clark at the moment, certainly. But like you say, I'm thrilled for these lads for getting a run out for Torquay United. And I really, really hope that some of them manage to kind of get a place in the squad and move up, because I mean that's ultimately.
Oh, how good would that be? How good would it be if we had someone that made a real impact this season, played in the first team next season, and then, you know, a football league club comes in, offers a six figure fee for them, and we can say, right, we finally sold a youth academy player. That's, you know, I'm
that's
so
literally
jealous
a pipe dream
at
the moment,
though.
It.
You know, the fact that Exeter even let them run contracts down and they get millions in compensation. I mean, that's taking the piss. They're so good at it. They're so good at it.
I wrote a column on it probably at least 10 years ago on how the Exeter youth system was so successful.
I remember reading that.
Do you?
No.
No, okay.
Sorry.
Would it be nice to have a reader? Let's knock it back to predictions for the weekend, Mr. Drew. What are you thinking? What type of game and what result are you going for?
I mean, you just don't know, do you? I mean, the way we're playing at the moment, I actually expect us to win because we seem to have got ourselves on a bit of a run. However much, you know, you can read into that. I'd go 2-0 win.
No, he's even going for a clean sheet as well. Who would have thought that? I am going to go for a 1-1. It's going to be a frustrating one, I think. I think they don't concede that many goals. I think they might come and set up shop a little bit. And I'm going with a 1-1. I just can't see us keeping a clean sheet. And let's go for the Brett McGavin renaissance to continue.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-0, but long-range goals that paper over the cracks of not being able to actually open up a defence. I've got my Christmas do Friday, though, so if anyone sees me and I'm not talkative, don't take it personally.
Okay, so if you see Drew on the pop side on Saturday, don't approach him, I think is the main advice, yeah?
Sunglasses on.
Sunglasses on. He doesn't want you to buy... You don't want any pints, Drew?
Do you know what? That could be the best thing for it. Dog, hair of the dog. I was going to say, hair there. It's been a really long week, and it's only Wednesday.
Any other business, Mr. Drew, before we sign off for the pod?
If you haven't already, join the trust, because I don't think anyone trusts the ownership at the moment.
Bingo! There it is from Sam Drew himself. This has been an episode of Talking Torquay. I've been Stephen Dixon. Thank you for joining us, Sam.
That's always a pleasure.
And goodbye from us. Cheers.